Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. On Wednesday, the 27th of August, coming up, there are further calls for international trains to stop at Ashford again, and a small protest takes place outside a discussion to do with violence against women and girls. But first, tributes have been paid today to a dad who died after suffering a cardiac arrest at a gym in Herne Bay. Tim Sells was working out at Snap Fitness when he collapsed last week and passed away in hospital 3 days later. The 47-year-old worked as a football development manager for Millwall FC Community Trust and also coached youngsters at Whitstable Town FC and Tankerton. Well, his partner, Lisa, says Tim's death has left the family in unimaginable shock, and she's now urging people to learn CPR. Lisa has paid this tribute.
Tim's love of football really started when he was very young. He played in various small football teams. And then one of his friend's dads created the Millstrood Rovers from Whitstable, where they all played in that, which he used to talk fondly of. Basically, then he continued. He played for the Canterbury District football, and then pub teams. He played for the Monument Pub in Tankerton. And then when he got a bit older, the Vets teams. And then when he got too sort of older to play, he then went into coaching football, where he did like various qualifications to coach. He coached futsal sessions in Canterbury and also the Christchurch College students, their football team, quite a few years ago as well, which he really, really enjoyed. He's then started a team called Tankerton Tots for the lads when they were about 4 years old, 4 or 5. Just as they all started school, and many of those boys have stayed with him sort of over the years, and they've now gone into the under 14s Kent Youth League Whitstable boys team, which, you know, Tim's heart was in completely. He loved coaching that team. It was, you know, it was his other love. Work-wise, he started working for Crystal Palace, but then when COVID hit, the football stopped. So then he, after the COVID sessions and that, he then joined Millwall Community Trust and stayed there, you know, till present day, working as football development manager. He also used to run and organise the kids' holiday club football sessions as well. And he loved working there. It, you know, it was his other love as well, you know. He was just so proud to be there. If he could help people in any way progress, he would. He was a really loving, kind man. Basically, if he wasn't working at football, he was playing football, watching football, or talking about football. It really was his life. So, yeah, I mean, in regards to Tim, you know, I think CPR is so important, as it can save a life. Go out and look for a course, watch it on YouTube, just get involved, perhaps at work, in even being a first aider and doing a St John's Ambulance first aid course. But it is really worth knowing, because, you know, if it could help anyone at any time, if ever they were in a similar situation, then at least it would give them a chance to live. The outpouring of love for Tim has just been so immense. I know that he was quite a well-known character around the area, but, you know, obviously at work and all within like the different football clubs that he's worked in, it's, you know, the love that's come in has been lovely. And it's so lovely to hear how he's touched people's lives in different ways. I'd just like to thank everybody for their kind words at this time. And, you know, Tim will be forever in our thoughts. Always.
Now, Lisa and Tim have been together for 15 years and got engaged last May. They're also parents to 13-year-old Cody and Demi, who's 10. Tim grew up in Whitstable and went to St Anselm's School in Canterbury before studying for a business degree at the University of East London. As you heard, as well as working for Millwall, he also worked for Gillingham and Crystal Palace. Well, tributes have been paid by the various clubs that Tim was involved with. They've all spoken about how he inspired players and coaches to get involved in grassroots football. Well, our thoughts are very much with Tim's friends and family at this incredibly sad time. And I'd like to say a huge thank you to Lisa for sending us that tribute. Now, a GoFundMe has been set up to support Tim's family. We've included a link to that within the story today on the website.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories, and a man's been flown to a London hospital after being hit by a vehicle near Maidstone. The crash happened on the A229 Linton Road in Lewes at around 5:30 this morning. The road had to be closed in both directions for investigation work. Reporter Cara Simmons has been at the scene.
The road is currently cordoned off in both directions, with police at the scene carrying out their investigations with what looks to be like a van and a bike which have been involved in a crash. Traffic is really heavy in the area. Most lorries and cars have turned off their engines and are stationary. That what we know so far is that a man has been airlifted to a London hospital.
Two people have been arrested following an attack in Herne Bay which left a man in a serious condition in hospital. This was the top story on yesterday's episode of the podcast. You may recall emergency crews have been called to Hampton Pier Avenue, where the victim, who's in his 40s, had suffered head injuries on bank holiday Monday night. An 18-year-old from Whitstable is being questioned, along with a 48-year-old man from Herne Bay. An investigation's underway following a sex attack in Gillingham. A woman was reportedly pulled into an alleyway while walking on Saunders Street near the junction with St George's Road on Monday night. The suspect is said to have been armed with a knife and ran off after being disturbed by a dog. A man's been jailed following an unprovoked attack in Maidstone which left a victim with deep wounds to his neck. Stephen Fraser punched a man while walking down Gabriel's Hill in the town centre in the early hours of the morning last July. The 41-year-old from Beckenham Road in Beckenham has 58 previous convictions. He's now been given a 5-year prison sentence.
Kent Online reports.
Now, a new report out today has revealed Kent could be missing out on nearly £3 billion in economic growth due to no international trains stopping at Ashford. Eurostar suspended services in 2020 because of COVID, but now a think tank called the Good Growth Foundation, who've come up with these figures, say the government should favour new operators. Well, I've been chatting to Dickon Spain, who's a local councillor in Ashford and also part of the Bring Back Eurotrain campaign.
Some very big numbers within this report by the think tank. Can you just explain what they found, essentially what they're saying if we don't get international trains stopping again in Ashford?
Well, I think the number that really jumped out at me was £500 million from incoming tourism, which is a huge number, and I feel is a very realistic estimation of what we could see if we can get the service back. So I think it just emphasises that point, that it's absolutely essential that we get the services back into Ashford. £500 million into the economy is going to be a huge boost for jobs and opportunities across the whole of the region. So I think it's essential that we get that back in. And I've spoken to a lot of businesses and seen the damage that the withdrawal of the service did in 2020 onwards. There were a number of businesses that set up specifically because that link existed. So to get it back is absolutely essential. And that report makes this point very, very clearly.
Yeah. How much weight do you think this report will give to your campaign? It's been ongoing now for a few years. Are you hopeful it will have an impact?
It's very helpful to have a report that's backed by most of the major MPs in the South East or the Kent region, or the significant ones that will be impacted positively by this getting international rail back. So it will make a big difference.
You mentioned Eurostar there, but of course it doesn't just have to be Eurostar stopping again at Ashford. It could be other operators, and indeed they've said that they're interested now. I mean, how long would it take if another operator wanted to stop there?
You're absolutely right. Eurostar are the people that are least likely to come back to Ashford, sadly. And they are the people that could come back most easily because they have the rolling stock and they have the personnel to do it. But they're really unwilling to do so, basically because they're in a monopoly position. So it doesn't serve their interests at the moment. But the rivals, yes, there's various positions from the various rivals. The most likely at the moment is Evelyn, who've teamed up with Italian State Railways. They're probably number one prospect, followed by Virgin, In terms of when services would return, the most significant factor holding services back is the access to rolling stock. So there's long lead times on ordering new trains. And so all of the rivals are facing that situation. And that would mean that we wouldn't probably see services return before 2028 at the earliest, probably more likely 2029. So let's break that monopoly, get rivals in as many as possible, and let's see choice come back in, and the fares will be lower, and of course the economy will grow massively. So what's not to like from all of that?
Thanks so much to Dickon for chatting to me. You can also read about this report and have your say by heading to the website. Vandals have caused hundreds of pounds worth of damage at a nature reserve near Maidstone. Fences were found to have been cut in several areas at Hale Park in Tovell on Bank Holiday Monday. It's thought it may have been done by a disgruntled dog walker who wanted to access a different field. Police are investigating a suspected arson attack on a shop in Rochester. Pictures at Kent Online show damage to the door and front of Get Ready Comics on the High Street. Crews were called to tackle the flames early on Tuesday morning. The shop's owners described it as senseless vandalism. Police are investigating after the window of an ultrasound clinic was smashed in a burglary in Ashford. A TV was stolen from the Bump to Baby site in the Park Mall shopping centre on Sunday morning. The owners hoping the damage will be covered by insurance. A Kent refugee charity is criticised language used by Nigel Farage during a speech about illegal migration. The Reform UK leader said hundreds of thousands of asylum seekers would be deported if he became Prime Minister. During a speech in Oxford yesterday, he also said the country is being invaded and called the situation a threat to public order. Let's hear what he said.
The mood in the country around this issue is a mix between total despair and rising anger. And I would say this, that without action, without somehow the contract between the government and the people being renewed, without some trust coming back, then I fear deeply that that anger will grow. In fact, I think there is now, as a result of this, a genuine threat to public order. And that is the very last thing that we want.
Well, Lucy's been getting reaction from Kay Marsh, who works for refugee charity Samfire in Dover.
It sounded like he's trying to sort of recycle a lot of failed Tory policy. Interested to see how he thinks he's going to do a better job at bringing those policies about than the Tories did. I mean, there's talk of Rwanda and Ascension Island. It just doesn't seem realistic.
And he mentioned a risk to public order. Do you think that is the case with the way things are at the moment?
Well, I think it's interesting that he focused a lot on sort of crime in Britain, but I would say that a lot of his rhetoric encourages the violence and the riots that we've been seeing.
Yeah, very interesting. And I know some of his language, you know, describing an invasion and things like that, it's a very strong way of putting it, isn't it?
It is, and it's, you know, it incites these sort of violent riots that we see outside asylum hotels. And, you know, the High Court ruling sort of emboldens these people to do it and feels that that's the right way to go about things, which of course it isn't.
Refugees that you work with, I mean, what's their kind of feeling at the moment? Are they kind of getting a sense of this sort of anger or hatred that Nigel Farage is speaking about?
I think everybody is feeling it, you know, over the last few months and the last few years, really, public opinion has dropped. And that has a lot to do with this rhetoric coming from people like Nigel Farage. A sense of uncertainty just grows among people here. They don't know what their place is here. And, you know, if they're going to be able to stay.
What do you think a lot of people will be thinking when they hear these comments Nigel Farage has made, and you know the sort of language he's using? Do you think people will agree with him on that, or do you think a lot of people will disagree?
There's always going to be you know a portion of British people who do agree with what he says, and you know it's very. Very shocking language, which is intentional, of course, and it does feed into the narrative that most people want to believe, which is, you know, the foreign criminal, we don't know who these people are, that kind of thing, which is not helpful to anybody.
Does it make your job harder in the work you're doing more difficult when you've got this sort of anger going on?
It's a very emotional job, as it is standing up for people. And if anything, this just inspires us all to work that bit harder.
And we've had some sort of campaigns going recently, you know, this Operation Raise the Colours with St George's flags being painted and lifted everywhere. I mean, do you think that's anything to do with this? And what's your kind of take on all of that sort of, you know, feeling that's going on at the moment?
Well, it's xenophobia dressed up as patriotism, as nationalism, isn't it? There is nothing outwardly bad about being proud of your country or indeed flying your flag, except if you're doing it to intimidate other people, that's where the problems lie. When we're taking it to such extremes and, you know, plastering entire towns in the St George's Cross with the sole purpose of intimidating people who come from elsewhere, it's not right.
Kent Online reports.
Now, an event has taken place in Kent to discuss violence against women and girls. It was organised by the Reform UK leader of the County Council, who wanted to examine why women feel less safe and where threats are coming from. Lyndon Kemp-Caron has partnered with the Women's Safety Initiative and other charities. Local Democracy reporter Simon Finlay went along to the meeting last night and joins me now. Simon, thanks ever so much for being on this episode of the podcast. Not everyone was happy about the meeting, though, were they? In fact, it was boycotted by some groups.
Well, they basically said that the Green Party said that Reform UK don't give a monkey's about violence against women and girls. And I suppose the leader, Lyndon Kemp-Caron, was trying to show that she does, and that she's going to put forward a motion towards the end of the year which will set out some practical steps how KCC can help in Kent to protect women and girls against violence.
So did we get any information as to what KCC are going to do in future then?
This was more of a discussion. It really was more of a discussion, and I mean, some of us in the press probably expected it to be a bit of a fiery encounter, but actually it was actually very well mannered. It was very polite and very well conducted, and someone like Katie Lamb, who's the MP for Weald of Kent, she left the meeting, and I sort of said, well, you know, as someone who's basically an outsider to the KCC environment and coming along as a sort of neutral observer, and she's thought it was a very good event.
And there was a small protest outside. Did that amount to much?
Well, there was about sort of a dozen people outside, largely. It was organised by the Green Party, but there were people from the trans community who were also there, and some of whom actually went and listened to the debate. Again, you know, everybody from that side of the argument was very well. Well behaved, you know, very well mannered, very polite, very courteous, and listened to what was being said. I don't think they agreed with a lot of what they heard, but they did listen with a good deal of courtesy.
Simon, thank you ever so much. 8 fire engines and a height vehicle have been sent to tackle a blaze at a house near Dover. It broke out on Station Road in Martin Mill yesterday afternoon. Crews spent nearly 5 hours putting out the flames. No one was hurt, and the cause is unclear. It's feared a do not swim water warning could stay in place on part of the Kent coast after tests revealed its worst ever pollution reading. The results for Deal Castle Beach in July show a spike in E. coli, something that can cause stomach issues. Well, campaigners calling for an end to sewage in the seas claim the test was taken a day after spills from nearby pumping stations. Southern Water say they're investing millions to prevent it. A van driver who was caught using cloned number plates in Sevenoaks has ended up back in court. Dylan Jocelyn Duffield was pulled over by police in the Tesco car park in Riverhead in April. The 20-year-old from Hazelbourne Avenue in Borough Green admitted driving while disqualified and uninsured. He's had his ban extended by 6 months and ordered to do 150 hours of unpaid work. A Medway pub that was banned from having DJs or a dance floor after violence broke out has applied for permission to bring them back. Restrictions were introduced at the Cricketers in Rainham in 2018 after several people were injured in an assault. Well, the owners have now applied for those to be lifted. It'll be considered by the council next week. And a Kent man who met his wife on VE Day is celebrating his 100th birthday. Peter Lake worked as a mechanical engineer for the RAF and lived in London during the Second World War. He met shop worker Sheila Corr while celebrating the end of the conflict in Trafalgar Square. They later got married, but Sheila passed away in 2018 at the age of 89. Peter still lives independently in Tenterden.
Kent Online Sport.
Cricket first up, and Kent have ended their one-day cup campaign with a defeat to Yorkshire. The Spitfires lost by 76 runs after failing to reach their victory target of 301 in Canterbury yesterday. It means they finish near the bottom of the Team B table. Same with cricket, and Northern Superchargers have lost their latest match in the 100. Kent's Zach Crawley scored 17 runs as he opened the batting against Manchester Originals. They reached the victory target of 140 with 16 balls to spare. On to tennis, and Emma Raducanu's in second round action of the US Open today. The British number one from Orpington takes on Indonesian qualifier Janice Chen. It follows the 22-year-old straight sets victory at Flushing Meadows in the first round. And in athletics, Kent's Dina Asher-Smith is racing in Switzerland later. She's competing in the 100 and 200 metres at the Diamond League in Zurich. It follows her fifth place finish in the 200 in Lucerne last week. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. Now, that gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, or one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.